السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 137 to 142 of Surah An-Nisa today. We'll start with the word meanings, starting with ayah number 137. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna, indeed. Alladhina, those who. Amanu, they believed. This word comes from iman, and that means to have faith, to believe. And amanu is a verb, and it ends in waw alif, so we know it's plural. So they believed, thumma, then kafaru. Same thing here, the root word is kufr, which means disbelief. But kafaru is a verb, and we see that it ends in waw alif, so it's plural. So it's a lot of people doing this. So kafaru, they disbelieved, thumma, then amanu. They believed, thumma, then kafaru, they disbelieved, thumma, then izdadu. Zada means to increase, that's the root word, and izdadu, ending in waw alif, tells us this is plural. So they increased, kufran, in disbelief, lam, did not, yakun. He is Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or lam yakunillahu can mean did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be, or he is not. Li yaghfira, li that yaghfira. This comes from ghafara, which means to forgive. Ya tells us this word is in the third person. So li yaghfira, that he forgives. Lahum, la for hum, them, wa and la nor, liyahdiyahum, li that, and huda is the root word which means guidance. Yahdiya, he guides hum, them, sabila, to a path or way. Bashir, give good news or give good tidings. Al-Munafiqeen. Munafiq means a hypocrite. And ina ending makes this word plural. Al in the beginning means the. So al-Munafiqeena, those who are hypocrites. Bi-anna, be, because. Anna, indeed. Lahum, la for, hum, them. Adhaban, a punishment. Alima. This alima starts off with an alif. Right, so alima means one most painful. Alladhina, those who, yattakhidhuna, they take or they make. Khudh is the root word, and that means to take. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes it plural. So yattakhidhuna, they take. Al-Gafirina. Al means the Gafirina, those who disbelieve, or the ones who disbelieve. Awliya'a. Awliya is plural for wali, which means a close or protecting friend, like a best friend who is your protector. So awliya'a as protecting friends or guardians. Min, from, duni, other than, al-mu'mineen, the believers. Ayabtaghuna, the a at the beginning is used to ask a question, and it means do. Yabtaghuna starts off with a ya, and una ending tells us this word is in the third person, And the ya tells us this word is in the third person, and una makes it plural. So ayabitaguna, do they seek? Ainda, near or with whom, them, meaning the disbelievers. Al aizata, al means the aizata, honor, fa, then, inna, indeed. Al aizata, the honor, lillahi, li, only for, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jami'a, all together. Wa, and, qad, in fact, nazala, he gradually sent down, he revealed, alaykum, alay, upon, kum, all of you, fi, in, al-kitab, the book, an, that, idha, when, sami'atum, sama'a means to hear, so sami'atum, you all hear, ayati, verses, or ayat, Allahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yukfaru. Kufr is a root word which means disbelief. Yukfaru is third person and it's in the passive tense. So yukfaru is being disbelieved or are being denied. Be with ha it or them. If we apply the ha to the ayat. Okay, yukfaru biha, they're being denied. Biha, with it. Wa, and yustahza'u is also passive and it means it is mocked or ridiculed. Biha, be with ha it. Fala, fa then, la, do not. Taqu'udu, you all sit. Ta in the beginning means you, and wawalif in the end makes this word plural. Qu'ud is the root word which means to be seated. So taqu'udu, you all sit. Ma'ahum, ma'a, with whom, them. Hatta, until. Yahudu, they engage. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and vawalif in the end makes it plural. So yahudu, they engage. Fi in hadithin, a talk. Ghairihi, ghair, other than, he, it. Innakum, inna, indeed. Kum, all of you. Idhan, then. Mithluhum, mithlu, like, hum, them. Inna, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jami'u, one who gathers. Jama'a means to gather. So jami'u is one who gathers. Al-munafiqeen, those who are hypocrites. Wal-gafirin, wa means and al-gafirin, those who disbelieve. Fi in jahannama, hell, jami'a, all together. Alladina, those who, yatarabbasuna, they wait closely. They wait, they watch and wait, basically. So, tarabbasa means to wait. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So, yatarabbasuna, they watch closely, or they wait. Bikum, be with or for, kum, all of you. Fa, so, in, if, kana, it is. Lakum, la for, kum, all of you. Fathun, any victory. Min, from. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalu, they said. Alam, did not. So alif in the beginning asks the question. Lam means not. So alam, did not. Nakun, na means we. Kun means to be. So nakun, we are or we were. Ma'akum, ma'a, with, kum, all of you. Wa, and, in, if, kana, it is, lil kafirina, li for, al, the, kafirin, disbelievers, nasibun, a share, or a portion. Qalu, they said, alam, did not, nastahwith, we overpower, or we overcome. Noon in the beginning means we. Alaykum, ala, upon, kum, all of you. Wa, and, namna'akum, Mana'a means to stop. That's the root word. Noon in the beginning means we. So wanamna'a, and we stop, kum, all of you, min, from, al-mu'mineen, those who believe. Meaning, and we protected you from those who believe. Fallahu, fa, so Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yahkumu, he will judge. Hakama, we've covered this word before too, and that means to judge between people. Yeah, in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahkumu will judge bainakum, baina, between, kum, all of you, yawma, on day, al-qiyamah, the standing before Allah, wa, and lan, will never, yaj'al, ja'ala means to make, ya tells us this word is in the third person. So yaj'ala, he will make, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lil-gafirina, li, for, al-gafirina, the disbelievers, or those who hide the truth. Ala, upon, al-mu'minina, those who believe, sabila, a way. Inna, indeed, al-munafiqina, those who are hypocrites, yukhadi'una, they deceive. You, in the beginning, tells us this word is in the third person, and una, at the end, makes this word plural. So yukhadi'una, they deceive Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa, wa, while, huwa, he, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khadi'uhum, khadi'u, one who deceives, hum, them. So khadi'uhum actually means one who deceives in response, them, wa, and idh, idha, when, qamu, they stood, ila, to, as-salati, the prayer, qamu, they stood, kusala, lazily, yura'una, ra'a means to look at, to see, and yura'una starts off with a ya, so it's in the third person, una ending makes this word plural, and this is in the passive tense. So it starts off with a dhamma. So yura'una, to be seen, to show off to each other. So yura'una, to be seen, annas, the people or mankind. Wa, and la, not yadhkuruna. Excuse me. Dhikr is the root word, and that means to remember. So yadhkuruna starts off with a ya, so we know it's in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yadhkuruna, they do dhikr, or they remember, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa, except, qalila, very little. Alhamdulillah, that's it for our word meanings, and now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم. Indeed, those who accept the faith, then they renounce it, then they embrace it again, and then deny it, and they go on increasing in disbelief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them. This means that they believe, and then suddenly they disbelieve, and then they believe again, and they disbelieve again. This is the description of the faith of a hypocrite. That person thinks that they're Muslim, but their level of iman goes up and down. Sometimes that person believes, and then other times he turns away from deen, and he keeps going through this cycle until one day he completely turns away from deen. This is how the hypocrites have always been. Those around Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted Islam, but their level of iman went up and down constantly. Whenever they were tested in the way of Allah, or they were told to set out of their homes and fight in the way of Allah, or spend in the way of Allah, they turned away from Islam. They started off by presenting false excuses for not doing what was required, whatever they were told to do in the way of Allah. So they used to present excuses. Since Muslims back then had to go through so many difficulties for Islam, and they had to make a lot of sacrifices for their iman, the hypocrites started to lie. They presented excuses for not being able to do whatever was required, and they used to swear that they were telling the truth. After this, they did something that was even worse. They became the enemies of the true believers who did always obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because they always did what they were told to do. The hypocrites couldn't stand that those true believers always obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they set out in His way whenever they were told to. Because of them, these hypocrites were being exposed, because they weren't ever willing to sacrifice anything in the way of Allah. So they didn't like it when the believers did whatever they were ordered to do, because they weren't doing it. And because of that, everyone noticed that these hypocrites, these specific people, always stayed back. And people noticed that they were not true believers. ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا. Then they increased even more in disbelief. Astaghfirullah. Imagine a person who is drowning. That person goes down in the water and he comes back up. And he tries to wave his hands and stay up, but he goes back down again. He goes up and down many times before he finally just goes underwater and he drowns. That's how the hypocrites are with their faith. They believe, then they disbelieve, then they believe again, and then they disbelieve again, and then they just drown in disbelief completely. And when they die in a state of disbelief, all their good deeds go to waste. Everything that they ever accomplished, all the good things they did, they all go to waste. Besides that, there are also other negative effects of turning away from Islam. When a person becomes a disbeliever, when someone goes from a believer to a disbeliever, his nikah breaks, so his Muslim spouse can no longer stay with him. He does not get a share in inheritance, and he isn't buried in a Muslim cemetery when that person dies. These are the worldly punishments of turning away from Islam after having believed. And they seem so bad. They seem like severe punishments. And then as soon as that person dies, he goes through the worst kind of punishment of all. That should tell us how important it is to be steadfast on deen till the end of our lives. If anyone dies as a disbeliever, they will not be forgiven. As for someone who turns away from Islam after being guided so many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't guide that person anymore. He just lets him go. And why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did guide that person to the right path over and over again, but he turned away after belief. So he doesn't deserve to be guided again. That person is ungrateful and doesn't value the guidance that he was given. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a seal on his heart he turns away from Islam for good, and then there's no turning back. بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما. Announce the painful punishment to those hypocrites. Astaghfirullah. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has promised the hypocrite among the men and women and the disbelievers the burning flame of Jahannam, in which they will live forever. That is the curse of Allah on them. The word bashir is used for these people, even though it means to give good news. Is that good news for those people? No, it's not. The word bashir is used even though this punishment is for people who were described in the previous ayat. They were sinful people. This is done to put down those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to give good news of this painful punishment to the hypocrites. They pretended to be Muslims when they weren't. Iman is a commitment that we have to carry out. We must fulfill this commitment. We cannot turn away from it after belief. Like when a person gets married, once they commit, they have to stand by their partner through the good and the bad times, no matter what happens. That's how people should be in their commitment to deen as well. But unfortunately, many people turn away from deen when things become difficult for them, or when they're tested in the way of Allah. But that's only how the hypocrites act. Many of the hypocrites of the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were exposed after the Battle of Badr. They had accepted Islam right after the victory at Badr to seek worldly benefits. But when they noticed all the difficulties they would have to go through as Muslims, they turned away. And nowadays, a lot of Muslims prioritize other things over deen. They don't think deen is that important. Many think that their jobs are the most important thing in life. So they end up going to work even when it's really difficult to do so. They make sure to do that. But that's not how they are when it comes to practicing deen. Some don't even bother praying salah when they get busy with other things, because that is not their priority. They don't think it's as important, so they skip prayer when they get too busy, but they never skip going into work. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Those who choose the disbelievers to be their protectors, to be their close friends. This is about the hypocrites too. We should think of what this ayah is saying. We should think about it so we can figure out if we have the characteristics of the munafiqeen, because we don't want to be included among them. So the first trait the first trait that we covered about them already was that they go back and forth between Iman and Kufr, meaning they go back and forth between belief and disbelief, and then they eventually increase in disbelief. We should make sure that we don't swerve back and forth between Iman and Kufr. Think about the condition of our hearts, the state of our hearts. And when it comes to the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, it wasn't that they used to verbally say what they were feeling. Okay, so they never used to sit there and say, I believe now, or I disbelieve now, astaghfirullah. So in most cases, they didn't go and take the shahada and then they say that they disbelieved out loud. Instead, for most of them, it was the condition of their heart that had changed, what they felt inside. Okay, so we should always be aware of the condition of our hearts, because that's what really matters. So if any of us is that way. If we increase in iman sometimes, but stop doing everything that Muslims are supposed to be doing at other times, then again, we get motivated to be good Muslims, but then we turn back again afterwards, away from deen. We should be aware that we're acting like the hypocrites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. Now, the second thing the hypocrites of those times did, and many from today do as well, they make disbelievers their protecting friends. Min dunil mu'mineen, rather than the believers. They leave the true believers and choose to be close friends with disbelievers. They choose them as their best friends, their protectors, because they just don't enjoy talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with believers. Because for the believers, Allah is the most important thing in their lives. He is most important to them. So they enjoy talking about Allah, but the hypocrites are not able to put up with that. So they distance themselves from the believers. They prefer to be around the disbelievers, talking about or doing other things that they think are fun. Because to them, talking about Allah or deen is not fun. They want the disbelievers to be their protectors or their close friends who they turn to for help when needed. And why is it that they do that? Why do they want the disbelievers to be their close friends? That reason is stated next. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ. Are they seeking honor in being with them? Honor in this phrase would mean worldly honor, due to status, power, a position, or wealth that someone has, or just for being well known. So the hypocrites try so hard to be around those people, and they want to be liked by them, so they try to please them. They try to make them happy one way or the other. They just want to spend time with them so they can be considered influential people in society because of being around those people. Or so they can ask them for help when they need something, because those people are considered important in society. So they want to be connected to these people. They want to have them as their contacts, their good friends. They think they would definitely benefit from their relationship with them, and that's why they befriend them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, do they try to be close to those people because they seek honor in being with them? Or they think they would help them in their time of need? Like in case someone loses their job or something. Do they think that they will actually benefit from being around those people or spending time with them? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. If we want to figure out if someone does have faith, we can judge by looking at the people that they're friends with, the people they love. If they leave the believers to be in the company of the disbelievers, to seek honor by being around them, we should know that فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, then indeed all the honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Muslims can benefit so much from trying to understand this ayah. Only if we understand this. Just this point, that all the honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Muslims understand this point, they would not bother trying to fit in with the disbelievers, to be close friends with them, for the temporary benefits of this life. And they wouldn't mind being friends with true believers, the real believers who are trying their best to practice Islam. They would enjoy being around the true believers if they understood that all the honor only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. Allah tells them this straight out, that all the honor belongs to Him. He owns all the treasures of honor. If people turn to disbelievers to befriend them for honor and for strength, just because they're impressed by their strength, they should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can choose to honor them. If He chooses to withhold that honor from somebody and not grant them honor out of His treasures, they will not be able to find it anywhere. And anyone who turns to other people to seek honor should remember that those people also depend on Allah for it. So how can they make that person honorable in the eyes of others? That would not be considered being honorable. If Allah had not chosen them to be honorable, they would not be important to others. They would not be honorable. So if we want to seek honor, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to ask Him for it, instead of turning to other people. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the honor is only for Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers. But the hypocrites don't understand that. In Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever wants honor should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Allah has all the honor. So Muslims should remember that they shouldn't turn to disbelievers and try to be around them to seek honor. And a lot of Muslims do this today, just because the disbelievers are powerful in so many parts of the world. They're impressed by their power, so they want to hang around them. They want their support and they want to seek help from them during hard times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that the honor is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. The next ayah should be eye-opening for us all. وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. And in fact, He has revealed for you in the book, meaning He has made it clear to you in the book. أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. That when you hear Allah's revelations, His ayat, yukfaru biha, being denied, when you are sitting somewhere and you hear people denying the ayat of Allah, they're rejecting them. Like if they say that they don't understand something from the Quran, or they say that they have come across so many contradictions in the hadith because it was written hundreds of years later. There are too many contradictions in it, so they don't believe in it. Or if they question an order of the Quran and ask, where does it say this? These are all ways that people reject the book. وَيُسْتَهْزَوْ بِهَا. And ridiculed by people. And they mock the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make fun of them. They joke about things from the Quran. They laugh about religious people, about Jannah, Jahannam. When that happens, we have to follow this one rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us next. فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. Then you must not sit with them. We have to remember this. We should not sit with people when they're mocking the ayat of Allah. And sadly, it's usually not disbelievers who do this today. Instead, people who call themselves Muslims are the ones who ridicule the ayat of Allah. They claim to be believers. They claim to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they laugh at Allah's book in a sarcastic way. Or they complain about the ayat. They pick out points from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say so many negative things about him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ, that He has already revealed for you in the book. We know this surah that we're studying now, Surah An-Nisa, was revealed in Medina. So it was in the later part. But even before this, Surah An'am was revealed in Makkah, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in Makkah. So Surah An'am comes after Surah Nisa in the order of the Quran when we read it, but it was revealed before the Surah, before Surah Nisa. And in Surah An'am, in Juz 7, ayah number 68, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you see people trying to pick out faults from our ayat, turn away from them. Stay away from them until they start talking about something else. And if shaitan makes you forget that you're sitting there listening to them, and you just forget that you shouldn't be with them at that time, that you should have left or gotten up, don't sit with those wrongdoers after you remember. So even if you forget initially, because shaitan does make us forget, you can't just sit there and stay with them once you remember, thinking, oh, it's too late now anyway. It's not too late, because we're told to get up and part from them as soon as we remember. So anytime people are laughing at the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they criticize them, we should not stay with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says not to sit with them, حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they engage in a different topic. Once they start talking about something else, then you can sit with them again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ, then do not sit with them. So who does this them refer to when He says do not sit with them? It's about the people who mock the ayat of Allah. They make fun of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it should be clear to us that those people can be our own friends, our relatives, our co-workers, or people that we go to do da'wah, to invite them to deen. Okay? So we are actually supposed to try and stop them whenever we hear them laugh at deen. Because according to hadith, when we see something bad happen, we're supposed to try and put an end to it, try to stop it. And if we can't do that with our hand, we should try to stop it by using our voice. So speak up against it. And if we can't even do that, we should at least think to ourselves that this is bad. If we don't even think it's bad, it means that we have no iman. So in a situation where we are around relatives that we just can't cut off from anyway, we can't really start arguing with them or start stating a hadith to prove that they're wrong in whatever they're saying, because that can result in more arguments or a fight. So it's better to just get up and leave. We cannot break family ties, so we should just move from there. Follow this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone is trying to argue with you about deen, or trying to criticize deen or make fun of it, just get up and leave. Go to a different place. And if you're in a place where you have gone to do da'wah, or if you're at work around your co-workers and people start criticizing or mocking deen there, it's good to move from there too. If you start doing da'wah and preaching to try to convince them that they're wrong, it won't be useful at that point. So it's just best to part from them. And at a workplace, when you work with people, you will see them later on anyway. So just distance yourself from them just for that time. But as for friends, now this is important, okay? Because when it comes to friends, we have the choice to be around people or not. We pick and choose our own friends. We have the right to do that. Right? So we don't need to be friends with people who try to criticize or mock deen every time we see them. If we see that happen, if they make comments, sarcastic comments about deen, about Allah, astaghfirullah, or anything about Islam. And of course that should bother us as Muslims. Then is there really a need to be friends with such people? We can choose to stop seeing friends who act that way. There are people who start saying strange things like, where in the Quran does it say that alcohol is haram? They want to see those exact words, even though they know it's forbidden. They just want to challenge you and prove somehow that it's acceptable, in case you're not able to answer them right away. At times, they don't reject the truth, but they just joke around about it, or they openly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, people who start serving alcohol. At that point, we're not supposed to think that we have to stay for dinner because we were invited, because we don't have the choice to leave now. We must get up and leave at that point. We should know this hadith from Ibn Kathir, in which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment should be seated at a table where alcohol is served. That's how serious this is. So if you attend a wedding where alcohol is being served, you cannot sit at that table where it's being served, even if you're not drinking, because others around you are drinking. So if you believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, if you claim that you're Muslim, you cannot sit there. And today, it's common for people to put on music and start dancing at weddings. People just sit there as guests because they think they don't have the option to leave. But they should move from there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something so powerful in the next three words. Something scary that should warn all of us. Innakum idham mithluhum. Otherwise, you shall be considered guilty like them. So if you don't move from there, you are basically like them. You are counted as a part of them in that case. Now, many of you may be wondering why you would be included in those wrongdoers when you didn't do anything. Allahu Akbar. The thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people mocking the ayat of Allah, or people rejecting the ayat and denying them. When people show through their actions that they're rejecting his ayat, and you stay there, seated with them, and it doesn't make a difference to you when they make fun of Allah, the deen, or his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're not bothered by their behavior, and you just sit there listening or watching, it means you don't have any iman. Because you're not bothered by people openly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're basically laughing and mocking his ayat, laughing at his ayat, when they're openly rejecting them through their actions. If anyone has iman, they would not be able to sit there and tolerate such things. Imagine if someone made fun of your mother. You would never want to sit with that person or listen to them quietly, patiently. We are so easily offended if people mock our family members or even ourselves. We get all defensive. So how can we just relax and sit back, listening to people mock Allah and our deen? And we know from the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we not be bothered when people mock the orders of Allah? When we're so sensitive to what other people say about us or our loved ones, we cannot think that it's okay for people to mock deen. It's not okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you stay with them, and you're not disturbed by their remarks or actions, you will be considered like them. And the second thing this means is that if you stay with them when they're mocking Deen, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, innakum idham mithluhum, indeed you all are like them then. So if we just sit there quietly and we let them mock Deen, we will eventually become like them. Astaghfirullah. Because if you don't get up and you just sit there listening to their nonsense, you will become so used to it over time that you won't feel disgusted by their remarks anymore, by their comments. You won't dislike that conversation after some time because you get used to it, even though you hated hearing them say such things the first time. When it becomes normal to you, you become desensitized to it. You eventually become like them and just take it lightly. So we cannot just sit there quietly and listen when people say such things. If we can't stop them because we don't have the right to do so, or we don't have the power to stop them, we should just get up and leave. That shows them that it bothers us when people mock Islam. For example, if there's a wedding where people are mocking the orders of Allah, we can't just get up and start preaching to all those people, right? We can't start lecturing them then, but we can at least get up and leave to show our disapproval. If we do, we will not be held accountable for that sin. But if we just sit there, we will be considered like them. Because if anyone stays quiet while they are around a sin that's taking place, they're like the person who is sinning. They're basically equal to them. Astaghfirullah. So it's actually hypocritical when someone claims to be Muslim but then goes and participates in such things. Even if he or she just sits there watching without taking part in that sinful activity. So we shouldn't care about what other people would think when we get up and leave such a place where people are disobeying Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates anyone who tries to seek honor through people and the creation of Allah. And this does happen. We should not disobey Allah and look to others for honor. Muslims should be known for not compromising on anything when it comes to Deen. Not compromising on it. People should know that we cannot tolerate hearing anything against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing negative. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to gather the hypocrites and the disbelievers all together in Jahannam. Now, if you're wondering why the topic of hypocrites and disbelievers came up here when we had been learning about the etiquettes for gatherings, it's because the hypocrites are the ones who act that way. Only they can tolerate being around people who disobey Allah or mock his ayat. A true believer would never be able to tolerate such behavior. They would never laugh at it or take it lightly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all the hypocrites and disbelievers in Jahannam together. This is because even though the hypocrites claim to be Muslim and they have Muslim names and have taken the Shahada, their way of thinking and their actions are very different from how Muslims are. They may look like they're Muslims, but their lives are very different. And the way they think is just like the disbelievers. That is why they will be with the disbelievers in Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. Since people will not be judged there based on their appearances on the Day of Judgment. Instead, everyone will be judged for how they were on the inside, what their hearts were like. In another part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, on that day, all the secrets will be put on trial. Whatever people hide in their hearts will be exposed, and they will be judged for it. So the disbelief that people hide in their hearts will be shown on that day. Even if they cover it up now and they call themselves Muslims, they will end up with the disbelievers for what they concealed in their hearts. We should remember this ayah whenever we attend gatherings. If shaitan makes us forget, we should get up and ask to be excused. That way we leave as soon as we do remember that we're not supposed to be sitting with people who are mocking or criticizing, saying bad things about the ayat of Allah, because we don't want to be considered like those people. We are not allowed to sit with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this very clear. الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِكُمْ, these hypocrites are the ones who wait for you. They wait to see who will be victorious, the believers or the disbelievers. The hypocrites just turn to the side that is victorious. So they wait and see. They closely watch and they wait. Whoever wins or whoever they see benefiting or overpowering over the other side, they just turn to that side. They change sides for their own benefit. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you a victory, قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ, they say, were we not with you? In those times, they used to say that they prayed with the Muslims. They used to go to the Muslims and say, don't we pray with you? So we are with you. They remind Muslims this, that they are with them just so they can benefit from being on their side when the Muslims were victorious. وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَصِيبٌ, and if the disbelievers gain success, قَالُوا, they will say to them, أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ, were we not strong enough to fight against you? By this, they used to tell the disbelievers, if we had fought alongside the Muslims against you, we would have won. We didn't fight on the side of the Muslims, and that's why you won. This is what they used to tell them. وَنَمْنَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and we protected you from the believers. They say to the disbelievers that they saved them from the Muslims. This is because the hypocrites look like Muslims, but they have no faith on the inside. They are like the disbelievers inside. So they just turn to either side that they can benefit from being a part of. They forget about Allah and they just do things for their worldly gains. They forget all about deen. فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between you and them on the day of judgment. He will not leave all the Muslims and the kafirs and the hypocrites all mixed up on that day. He will separate them on the day of judgment, and then he will decide between them. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave the way for the disbelievers to triumph over the believers. So the disbelievers will never be successful against the believers in presenting proofs. Neither will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave the believers helpless against the disbelievers, or allow the believers to be wiped out. That will never happen. And of course, on the day of judgment, the disbelievers will go through the greatest loss, the ultimate loss. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the prayers of the hypocrites. You would be shocked to hear that they used to establish prayer. Even though they were hypocrites, they weren't true Muslims. They used to establish prayer. Because in those times, nobody could imagine that a Muslim would not pray. Okay, nobody could even imagine that. Muslims were known for praying Salah. Okay, there were no Muslims who didn't pray. All the Muslims prayed. Nobody else prayed beside the Muslims. So the hypocrites used to praise Allah just to hide their true identity. Okay, they used to pretend to be Muslims, and that wasn't easy. Innal munafiqina yukhadi'una Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum. Surely the hypocrites try to deceive Allah, whereas in fact He has reverted their deception to them. Nobody can deceive Allah, but the hypocrites think that they deceive Him the way they deceive other people, by pretending to be true believers when they really are not. They think that they are going to be able to say that they're Muslim on the Day of Judgment, and they would just succeed. But it's impossible to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe Allah would believe their lies, just like other people do. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. While He is the one who deceives them. Now, how does Allah deceive them? He gives them respite and time to repent. He doesn't seize them right away for their sins. So they think they're fine just the way they are. If they were afflicted with misfortune right away due to their sins, they would realize that they made a mistake. But they continue to enjoy the favors of Allah that they're granted in life. So they don't even realize that they're sinning. The hypocrites think that they're smart because they think they're tricking Allah. Astaghfirullah. So they used to think they were so smart for switching sides whenever they wanted, just to be able to seek worldly gains, even though Allah is the one who deceived them when they did this. He deceived them in response to their deception, because He allows this wrongdoing. But they thought they were being manipulative and benefiting from that behavior. They didn't realize that they were being foolish. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. And when they stand for prayer, they stand reluctantly. They complain that they feel like they're constantly just praying one salah after another. Praying salah feels like a burden to them. They are troubled by it, and they pray lazily. Sadly, even Muslims act like this today. They complain when they hear the adhan. They say that they feel like they just prayed the last one and now they have to do the next already. They spend hours in front of the TV. They're not bothered by that, but they don't want to spend 10 minutes praying. But Salah was the coolness of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eyes, remember? Our predecessors looked forward to Salah for that chance to be able to connect with Allah, to speak with Him. They used to take their time praying. They didn't just get it done quickly like many Muslims today do. And if we act that way, we should know that this is one of the signs of a hypocrite, that they do not enjoy praying Salah. Ibn Abbas thought that praying when someone is physically exhausted is disliked. And he said that people should be mentally fresh, attentive, and look forward to praying, and they should do it properly. And they should be certain, they should be sure that Allah hears their voice when they pray, and Allah is ready to respond to their needs. That's what Ibn Abbas said. Subhanallah. But as for the hypocrites, they pray because yura'un an-nas, to be seen by people. They show off to each other. They prayed to prove to other people that they were Muslim. That's why Isha prayer and Fajr prayer were the most difficult for them, because it used to be dark when those prayers took place. They didn't have lights around back then like we have now, so people couldn't really see each other. So they didn't want to go to pray Isha or Fajr in congregation. Isn't it so sad that many Muslims don't even pray at those times in their homes nowadays? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the most difficult prayers for munafiqeen are Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr. They prayed Salah to be seen by people. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone who prays really well, taking their time when they're around others, and doesn't pray properly when they're alone, has disrespected Allah. Because they care so much about what other people think. They pray so nicely to impress other people, but they don't care about doing it to the best level, to the best of their ability, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. According to one hadith, on the Day of Judgment, some people will be ordered to be taken towards Jahannam. When they get closed, towards Jannah, towards Paradise. So, on the Day of Judgment, some people will be ordered to be taken towards Paradise, towards Jannah. When they get close to Jannah, they will see how beautiful it is. And they will see all the blessings of Jannah. They will see some of those blessings. But they will hear a voice call out, take them back from here. They have no share in it. Those people will really regret not being able to get inside. And they'll be extremely sad in a way they had never experienced before. They'll say, oh Rabb, if you had just put us in Jahannam before showing us Jannah, it would not have been as difficult for us. Because once they see Jannah and its blessings, they'll be really sad when they're taken away from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, I did this so you feel remorse. Because during your lifetime, you did bad things when you were alone. But you acted like true believers when you were around people. You were different on the inside than what you pretended to be on the outside. You were afraid of people, not me. You thought people were so important and stopped sinning for them instead of doing it for me. Today, I will punish you in a severe way and deprive you of blessings. Astaghfirullahi Rabbi. That is what hypocrisy actually is, that people change their behavior according to those they're around. When they are around non-practicing people, they act like they never even studied the Quran. But when they are around religious people, they act like they are so pious. The believers are not supposed to be that way. We are not supposed to change our actions according to our surroundings. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, the worst out of all the people will be the one who is two-faced, the one who quickly changes and acts like the ones he is around. He pretends to be like one group, but when he is with a different group of people, he acts like he's a part of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches even when nobody else does. Even when the believers are not watching or judging us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And that should be enough to make us steadfast on deen. We cannot pretend to be true believers around mu'mineen and then be completely different when we are not around them. That's what the hypocrites used to do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a hypocrite sits there watching the sun go down, and when it's about to set, he stands and quickly prays 4 rakat, in which he barely does the dhikr of Allah. This means that he prays Salatul Asr when the time for it is almost up. This is a Muslim hadith. The third characteristic of a hypocrite, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, and they do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but a little, even while they pray. Astaghfirullah. Doesn't that sound like these ayat are talking about us? We start remembering so many things when we stand to pray, and we barely remember Allah. Astaghfirullah. So many things come to mind. And we are mindful of what we're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what we are actually doing in only some of the parts of prayer, not all throughout Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and help us pray in the best way so we can focus while we do it, and so we can keep in mind what we're saying and experience the beautiful feeling of being able to stand before our Lord to connect with Him. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.